So typically, when I preach, my family sits over there, so I don't normally look that direction, because obviously. But they're on both sides tonight. So if you catch me just like, I'm just going to favor you guys tonight. I'm sorry. Just because. man. Give me just a moment. There we go. You know, it's funny doing things like this because my family just won't stay quiet when I do it. I could have just slid in and no one would have known the difference, but I feel like introductions are important at these kinds of things. Most of you know me and have gotten to know me over the last several years, but I have a lovely wife. Her name is Alexa. She's sitting over there. We have a dog. Her name is Ella. She is very spoiled, and she's a golden retriever. I've been playing. I had to count it up today. I've been playing for my grandparents for the last 13 years. And for the last 10 years, my sister and I have traveled with our cousins in different times and led worship and done music stuff. And it's always great fun. But I love getting to share the word. I love getting to share with you guys tonight. And my primary role at the church I'm at is youth ministry. So I work with teenagers. Yesterday, I was on a bus with 18 boys. 18, not 18. 18 boys driving them around the state of Michigan, competing against two other teams of girls on an all-day scavenger hunt. I will tell you, and no cell phones, so they were trying to direct me with a map. Nothing will test you like 18 boys arguing behind you where to go. My team came in third out of third. My wife's team won. And I could have told you that was going to happen because she's much more competitive than I am. But anyways, grab your Bibles with me if you would like and turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be in chapter 2 for a minute tonight. And tonight I want to look at evangelism. And evangelism is one of those things that when you hear it, it means so many different things to different people. When I think of evangelism, I typically, in my mind, think of an evangelist who kind of travels from church to church and drops in, says a bunch of stuff, and then leaves. Exactly what I'm doing tonight. But I really think there are so many different ways to be evangelists. And I think if we're going to figure out what it looks like to be an evangelist in our world today and with the people that we encounter, we have to look at it from this new church perspective in the second chapter of Acts. So if you remember, 40 days after Easter, Christ stayed and taught for 40 days, and then he left. He ascended. He was gone. But before he left, he told his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem, because this gift is coming. So the disciples are all waiting in the upper room, and bam, the Holy Spirit comes in, and it changes them, and they head out, which has always been funny to me, because I'm kind of a comic book guy, kind of a movie guy, and it always has been funny to me, because normally, when you are gifted with superpowers, you don't go tell people. You typically wait, and like, you know, if you get bit by a radioactive spider, you don't typically go tell people you can stick to walls. But in this case, it happens. So the Spirit comes, and they head out, and they begin preaching, and each person hears it in their own language, in their own tongue, which is just incredible to start with. Like, can we think about that for a second? If you were hearing me speak tonight in English, but someone else was hearing me in Aramaic, or if you were from Spain, you were hearing it in Spanish, or from Japan and hearing it in Japanese, or from England hearing it in whatever they say, hearing these things. And the disciples are so fully engaged with what God is doing in that moment that people start to say, well, they're drunk. They have to be. But as people are trying to figure out what's happening or what you know, all-night bar they were at, Peter stands up. And he gives what I think of as the world's greatest pep talk to these people. And it's here in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 14. And I'm going to read it for you. It says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Verse 17, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Continuing in verse 19, "And I will shew wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, do you hear the power in those words? Just think about that for a second. Peter is quoting this Old Testament book of Joel. But one of the most exciting things for me about this passage is that it applies to all of us. Not just the young, not just the old, not just the educated or the Bible scholars, but each of us. See, Pentecost can be summed up in one word, and that word is change. There was this change in the disciples, in the change that took place in the 3,000 people who accepted Christ that day. See, I believe we need that change today. We need God to come to us and change us. See, I believe that if you're in church on a Sunday night, that you're trying to be more like Jesus. But we need to share that. See, we have this amazing ability to share God's love. There's a few ways we can do that, so I would just like to share in the few minutes I have with you some of the ways I think we can do that. The first one is this. We need to be willing to share the message of Christ. Let me fill you in on something. There are always opportunities to show kindness. There are always opportunities to show God's love to someone. There are always times to share the message of Christ. The only thing we have to do is be willing to look for those opportunities and then take them. Be diligent about showing the love of Christ to those around us and telling people about Jesus. See, when Peter stood up, he had to trust that God was going to guide him. And because of his willingness, it said 3,000 were added to their number that day. Isn't that incredible? Like, think about that number in your head for just a moment. I've heard that there are about 300 people here on a Sunday morning that pack in. So think about each week, or on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, between those numbers, think if each one of us were able to reach 10 people. I did some simple math. I'm not much of a math guy. But if there are 300 people, if 10 of us, if each of us led 10 people to Jesus this year, we'd hit that number of 3,000. 10 people. That's not even one a month. You could take the summer off, or you could go to Florida in the winter. See, that number just blows my mind. And I hope it stirs something in you. See, I know some of you are thinking, like, he really had to do that math? And yes, I did. But do you know how many families would be different in Genesee County if 3,000 people accepted Christ this next year, it'd be incredible. You wouldn't be able to contain it. The next is we need to know the Scripture. And Peter knew his Old Testament. He had studied it, and with the help of God, he was able to stand and quote it to the people. We need to be able to quote it, and quote it well, and quote it in context. And this is one of those things that I typically preach to myself, because Scripture memorization isn't always easy for me, but we have to do it. When we're trying to comfort someone who's struggling, instead of saying, oh, that's too bad, or telling them that everything happens for a reason, that's not mentioned anywhere in the Bible, by the way, we could say, I'm so sorry you're struggling. But in Nehemiah 8:10, it says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, the worst part is, I was able to Google that. I was able to look that up and say, this is the kind of thing you should be sharing. That's how easy this is. We need to learn the Scripture so we can share it with those around us. Next, we need to be ready to give an account. I'm going to read this off my phone because I... Please, no one be upset. This is 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Always be ready. Always be ready to give an answer. Always be ready to give an account. You know, that's one of my favorite passages. And actually, when I every year when my seniors in high school graduate, I write in their Bibles, and I paraphrase that into the messages that I write to them. Because I believe it's so important that if we're going to reach people, if we're going to go out and tell people about Jesus, we need to be ready. And we also have to talk to each other. We have to be ready to share how the Lord has brought us through something, how He's comforted us when something's gone wrong. And how even though He didn't answer that prayer, He's still faithful. See, we need to hear those stories from each other. Because if we keep pretending that everything's perfect, if we keep pretending that everything's fine, we'll never be able to share the gospel. Because no one wants to hear the gospel from a perfect person. There's just too much to live up to. We have to be honest. There's going to be hard days, but it's still worth it. And the last thing is this. We need to be the same person everywhere. This is a hard one. But I feel so strongly about it, I have to be careful how I say it. Please don't say you're a Christian here, but not talk about it outside these walls. Please don't say that you believe in Jesus, then pass judgment or gossip or steal or make dishonest business deals and call yourself a Christian. People notice. And you're making things harder. When I was 18... I started college, and I went to Mott Community College for a couple years. Go Bears. And I was trying so very hard to fit in. And I remember there was a lounge that we would all hang out in the music area. And I began laughing at other people's expense. I began making comments about people they didn't deserve. I was pretty judgmental. I wasn't a very nice guy. At church, though, I was great. I would talk to everyone. I would walk around seeing people. I was serving in youth ministry. But when I was at school, it was all about not looking stupid, not being noticed, Now, I had friends who knew I went to church, and one of my friends even went to the same church I did, but we ignored that fact when we were together on campus. And it took me pretty much the first year of college before I worked up the nerve to talk to a friend about Jesus. And it turns out he had had a church background but had walked away. And when I began to have this conversation with him, he stopped me. And he asked, how could I talk about people the way that I did and still call myself a Christian? And that was gut-wrenching. That's one of the things that has shaped the next several years of my life, that moment. And friends, I want to tell you tonight, always live authentically. Be who God created you to be. Reach out to friends and neighbors by helping them and loving them and leading them to Christ. But honestly, I think the only way we can do all these things is if our identity is centered in Christ. Your identity isn't defined by your past or what people say about you. Your identity comes from who God has made you to be. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you've been through or who you are. You just need to know what God wants to do in you and through you. Start to create your identity around what you know to be true, who God has made you to be. See, those are all important moments. And I hope tonight, as we go from this place, you'll think about some of these things. But before that, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to what God might be saying to you tonight. See, I want more Jesus. I want God guiding me every step. And I want to invite you tonight to ask for the same. In just a second, I'm going to invite Brother Manning to come up and lead an invitation because this is his pulpit. And I understand the trust he's placed. And I don't want to abuse that. But if you need to have some conversation with the Lord tonight, use this time. Don't let it pass. Let us live our lives changed because of the one who has changed us. See, maybe right now you're living with one foot at church, but living differently everywhere else. This is your chance to make some changes. Maybe you haven't accepted Christ yet. Maybe you're new here, or maybe this is different for you today. But you're saying, man, this sounds like me right now. You can invite Jesus into your life today. How cool would it be that this is you tonight to say, man, on that Sunday night in October where that stupid kid talked, I accepted Jesus. All you have to do is ask him to forgive you of your sins and invite him to have control in your life. So, Brother Manning, I'm going to pray, and if you would come and lead us tonight. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to share. God, I just pray that we would be more and more like you, that no matter what, you would lead us and guide us. In your name, amen.